And then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, in just a couple of weeks, I will be down in Phoenix. And I'm not saying this to rub in the fact that I'm going to be somewhere with warmth and sun. But even as I say it, I am kind of rubbing it in a bit, I know. Especially as we kind of look out this morning at the snow that's coming down. But the reason I bring it up is because every year that I've been down there, this will be my fourth year going down, every year that I've gone down, there's always all of these breakout sessions on discipleship. And you guys have probably gotten a pretty good idea of who I am, that I'm the kind of guy that is going to continually ask those why questions. I think by asking these why questions, we get things down to their most base level to understand them better. And so the question today is, why do we care so much about disciples? Why do we care so much about discipleship? Why did Jesus even have disciples? Like, what's the point? He's God in the flesh. He doesn't really need disciples. And then why has this been the preferred method of sharing and continuing the faith? And so to get some insight into that, we look at our gospel reading today. And so here what we have is Jesus is walking next to the lake of Gennesaret, and he is being, as Luke puts it today, he is being pressed in on by the crowds. There's a ton of people. And honestly, it's not surprising. When we look through Scripture, what we see is Jesus is a profound teacher. His teachings are powerful. They are eye-opening. And you always hear this simple, a couple little lines after he's finished teaching, the people are astonished at what they are hearing. And so, of course, he's being pressed in on these people, but as he's walking along, he finds these guys with two boats, and they're out of the lake, and they are cleaning off their nets. You can kind of get a sense that they have disappointed faces as they are cleaning their nets. And the funny part is Jesus just gets into one of their boats. I mean, that's so strange to me. How would you react, right? If you were out fishing on Cannon and you were planning on grabbing some dinner and bringing it home, you had all these great plans for a great fish dinner, but you just caught nothing. And so as you pull your boat in to bring it up on the dock, some stranger just gets in your boat and says, hey, let's go back out. How would you react? And kind of surprisingly, Simon Peter doesn't yell at Jesus. He doesn't pop him in the face or anything like that. He says, okay. And he lets him out. Now, we kind of get the feeling that Simon knows there's something a little bit different about this Jesus fella because later on he calls him master. So we've got Jesus, Simon, James, and John in the boat. And as they put out a little bit, Jesus starts teaching from the boat. And we're curious about what he's teaching about. It's probably the same thing he's been teaching about the whole time, right? The kingdom of God, what it means to be a child of God, how to interpret the law, how to live the law. And after this, he then says, all right, now I want you guys to go out a little bit further. And I want you to drop your nets in and you're going to get a big old catch. And to which Simon replies, Master, I mean, all right, I don't know. We've not really had a good day fishing. We haven't caught a thing all morning. But you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to drop my net at your word. And he does. And notice what happens. There are so many fish that the nets start breaking, number one. When they call the guys to come and help them out on this other boat, they come in and the boats are so full of fish that the boats themselves start to sink. It is just an absolute crazy amount of fish that they have brought on board. And then with this, very similar to our reading from Isaiah, Peter falls down at Jesus' feet and says, whoa, there's something going on here, and I am absolutely 100% not worthy for this. I am a sinful man. I should not be standing before you. And Jesus, as the angel does to Isaiah, Jesus lifts Peter up and says, don't worry. Now on, you're going to be catching men, right? Other places in Scripture we hear, and now you will be fishers of men. And with that, they leave everything. which is also kind of a surprise, right? Because they have this huge haul of fish, and the whole point of getting all that fish is to not feed themselves, but to sell it to make money. And they leave behind their equipment, their boats, this huge haul of fish, and they follow Jesus. So then, now I'm going to ask you, after hearing that whole lesson there, what is the definition of a disciple? Say it louder.
Follower.
Follower, right? Which is, it's kind of interesting. When I wrote this, I wasn't planning on any of you really knowing that. And so I'm really happy to hear you responding and saying that the definition of a disciple is a follower. As I did with the children this morning, the other very simple definition for disciple is student. But yet, with a disciple of Jesus, there is so much more going on. Because we're not only following the teachings of Jesus, we are following He Himself. We are following Jesus to every step of the journey. And so when these men are called to be fishers of men, it's not some weird, grotesque butchering of people that they're going to be doing. They are using the Spirit's work to cast their lines and to bring people to God. And do you know how I know this? Because of the disciples. You see, Jesus has chosen these people to pass this on. God has chosen Jesus. He sends Jesus. And He's not just any ordinary man. He is truly God in the flesh. And this Jesus calls people to follow Him, which they do. He then goes to the cross, dies, goes to the grave, rises. And how I know all of this is because the disciples have shared and passed on that this Jesus has died on the behalf of all to redeem them by shedding His blood in our place, and that He has given us victory over death by leaving death behind in the tomb. And truth be told, none of us have seen this. None of us know this as a firsthand eyewitness experience. But we know this based on faith. And that faith that is provided for us is provided for us through the disciples. The Holy Spirit, one of the ways that He has chosen to work is to provide disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, who then go on and make more disciples. And thus the church grows and the faith is passed on. And these disciples are the ones who have received the teachings from Jesus. They are the ones who then pass on those teachings of Jesus. They are the ones who start the church. These are the ones who write the words of Scripture. These are the disciples who are martyred, who are brutally murdered for their faith. And it is these disciples who then go on and make more disciples. It is to these disciples that the kingdom of God has been given. It's important to remember that when we say the disciples, we are not just referring to the 12. We're not just referring to Jesus's 12 disciples that he calls in so many different ways. These disciples are all those who follow Jesus to the cross to be crucified. Thankfully, not literally for us, because He has done it for us. These disciples are those who walk with Jesus out of the grave. Though for us it's not yet, but there is a day that is coming when we will walk victoriously from the grave. It is these disciples who proclaim the love of God on a daily basis. It is these disciples who laugh in the face of death and share the love of God and the reality of life in Christ. But it's not always so big and grandiose. It's the disciples who make pies and put Bible passages in the packaging and sell them. It's the disciples who go to someone and check in on them after they've had surgery. It's the disciples who pick up the phone and call somebody and say, "Hey, I haven't seen you for a bit. How you been doing?" It's those disciples who are throwing salt on the sidewalks when it's frozen outside. To be a follower of Jesus, it's not all these big, grand displays of faith. Most of the time, it's the little stuff. And it's just showing the love that you have received from God yourself. It's not these These things where you are dying on the behalf of others, we don't have to do that because Christ has already done it for us. But it is in these daily, tiny, little displays of love that people know God. God calls us to be disciples and gives us instructions. To be a disciple, you follow Christ. And to follow Christ means that you love God and love your neighbor. And in this, people know. And again, it's not the big displays of love, it's the little ones. It's those little phone calls. It's those handshakes. It's those loving teasings that you always see happening in the narthex on Sunday mornings as we behave like a family, honestly. It is in all these little displays of love that we then make more disciples. Because in this display of love, we know love, as John tells us, because he first loved us. We know love because of what we see on the cross. And it changes and motivates us to live as the disciples. And then finally, as we can keep considering the whys, why do we want more disciples? Well, I'd hope it'd be obvious, but if it's not obvious, first reason is because that's how the church grows, and second reason is because you're told to do it. Right? Jesus tells you, Matthew 28, go and make disciples. And what I really want to emphasize in that verse is the go. You cannot make a disciple unless you go. You cannot sit here doing nothing and expect people to come to you to be made into disciples. Sure, it might happen. Praise the Lord if it does. But you are called to go, to make disciples. And you, by being a disciple, as Paul is talking about here, look at all these spiritual gifts that he's talking about, speaking in tongues and these wonderful prayers in the Spirit. But Paul, in a very practical side of things, says, yeah, those are all great, but if somebody comes in, they're going to think you're a bunch of crazy people. You need to have these regular, practical side of things that people will then be hit by the Word of God and their hearts will then be changed. And it is in your going that you show this love. It's in the little practical things that you call people out of their darkness into the light of Christ. And it is in these all these little daily things, little daily encouragements, little daily prayers, little daily instructions to read and to live God's word. And it is in daily Christian love that disciples grow, that the relationships grow, eventually leading a person that you helped lead to be a disciple of Christ to then go on and make more disciples themselves. C.S. Lewis, and I can't remember exactly how he puts it, but calls it a divine disease, that it's passed on like a virus. And this is what we are called to do, to go and make disciples. Amen? Amen. Amen.